I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show! I'm John Holmes, and welcome to The One Show Show, one of those newfangled podcasts where we fly a cheap banner over The One Show emblazoned with the legend, "Your green sofas don't matter." As lockdown eases, rest assured that we are still the metaphorical plastic screen between you and The One Show, ensuring you don't have to come into contact with it, as we will do that for you, dedicated as we are to keeping you safe. This week then, will.i.am's sock puppet, a sloth in a box, and Esther Ranson's unseen cow. Joining me to scoop it all up and put it in a bin are, of course, the regular The One Show Show-er Mark Haynes. And making her Tatitos debut, she was runner-up in the Funny Women and So You Think You're Funny competition. She's performed stand-up on BBC Asian Network Live, and she writes for Charlie Brooker, all of which means she's desperately overqualified to appear on this pile of old shit. It's Charlie George. Welcome, Charlie George. How are you?
Oh, thanks so much. That was quite an intro. Realistically, during this time, I like to tell people that I'm a retired stand-up comedian. I retired after just beginning. That's basically what happened.
What made you retire from it, Charlie? What was the driving force behind that lack of ambition?
Was it all the other stand-ups?
Who are horrible men, because that's what we know now.
Well, that's obviously a big element at the moment. But realistically, I retired before that because I've got bad Wi-Fi, and there was this big virus that sort of slowed everything down. So that's the main reason I've stopped. It's nothing to do with the terrible men.
Well, speaking of things that are terrible, obviously you had to watch The One Show. Was it something you'd watched before, Charlie, or was it new to you because of this?
It's new to me because of this. It's something that I've actually experienced, like, live. I've seen it being filmed in Great Portland Street a couple of times when I've been having a panic attack between pret-a-mangers. I've seen it. And, like, passed it. And I've thought, oh, that's on all the time. Like, yeah. But I've never watched it. No.
Mark and I have done that as well. We've walked past, after recording one of these podcasts, more than once, and deliberately stood outside to get our photo taken as a sort of I don't know, self-damaging selfie, if that's a thing. But it's,
I think, yeah, what it showed is that we had the chance to actually do some damage to people involved in it, and we decided to take the high road. So I think actually that photo is a perfect example of how professional we are.
There you go, photobombing the One Show. I mean, it is kind of nuts that they just film it outside in that bit. Like, I mean, do they always do that? Because it seems to just be on when I'm there. They're filming bits there. And you're like, this is the worst space for those. Like, I love those people who like video bomb newscasters and journalists and stuff. Yeah. They're just in the background like, hi, mum. Or like they just start pulling faces and stuff.
And no one bothers with the One Show. No, that, I don't think there's been a single thing where someone in the background has been dragged away for messing around. People are like, I will do that on the news. That's real telly. I will not do it on the One Show. I refuse to. It's not real. It doesn't exist.
Let's talk about Monday, first of all, because we watched Mondays this week. That was the one with Chris Ramsey, guest presenting, the comedian Chris Ramsey was on. There was an odd start to this.
Hello and welcome to The One Show with Alex Jones.
And with me all week, lovely to have him back, is Chris Ramsey.
Welcome. Lovely to be here. So happy to be here.
Seen you since the very beginning of lockdown.
Yeah, it was the Friday before lockdown.
You
were
the first person I socially distanced from.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. Yeah, it was awkward and horrible, but we're used to it now, so it's fine.
We were hanging off the edge of the sofa.
Yeah, I was on the edge of that sofa like a little gnome. Yeah,
see, we've worked it out now.
We're back now, we've sorted it, yeah,
it's
all good.
It's good to see you.
I like the thank you, it's lovely to be back. I've got a shirt on for the first time since the beginning of lockdown. Now, it might be Monday, but there is no need to feel blue. We've got loads of things to look forward to tonight, so let's get it started.
Now, as regular watchers, you might not have noticed this, Charlie, but there was quite a weird thing whereby under the first couple of minutes of the programme, they kept the theme tune running as a bed to talk over, which I don't think we've ever seen before. It's almost like a new director's come in. But it also then jarred horribly with the clip of the Black Eyed Peas they played in.
Also coming up to Mark Windrush Day, we look at the impact that generation and their descendants have made to our NHS.
Musically, because nobody mixed it properly, which is a good way to start a show. And then, of course, it was Esther Ranson's 80th birthday. What did you make of that, Charlie? That was what a treat for her, having to go on the One Show.
Well, it's weird that you say, I want to double back on the sound thing that you mentioned, because it's just like, I wouldn't have noticed a detail like that. Like, to be honest, like, that's what I, you know, I date people so that they can tell me information like that when we're at gigs, of like how inaccurate the sound is. Like, that's mainly why I go out with other people, so they can tell me these things. I did feel that Alex was dressed like the BBC test card colours. Like, I don't know if you've seen the clown, but like, she was in this insane, like, I was like, has she come dressed as the insane clown posse? Like, what is happening? And then I was like, oh, there's this teenage guy next to her who's like got really windswept hair. He looks like he's just been caught surfing.
Yeah. He got, I mean, Chris Ramsey tried to make the best of his lockdown haircut, I think we get from that. Because it was neat, certainly, but there was a lot of it. And speaking as a man who hasn't gotten that much left, I was quite jealous of it, if I'm honest.
He really struggled this week, didn't he? Because he was sort of aware that he didn't have a lot to do. And so he tried to make, every time he spoke, it had to count and he had to be funny. And he was funny, but there's no audience there. There was a bit later on in one of the shows that we watched where he was talking about the comedian's nightmare is basically doing a drive-in gig where you wouldn't be able to hear anybody laugh.
Yeah.
And I thought, you're living your nightmare, but it's also going out on television. I mean, it really is awful. Everything he said, silence. There's no one there.
Yeah.
Nightmarish.
Yeah. They like to throw in a bit of comedy business now and again. And that was evident, wasn't it, in one of the episodes when they did a little EastEnders acting. I mean, I use that term very, very loosely. Where the next link, he sort of said, like that famous scene in EastEnders that they were talking about, because they had Anita Dobson on the programme, used by Angie, of course. And he said, well, I've got the next bit of, I've got your papers here, Alex. Parodying the divorce papers scene from EastEnders from the 80s.
And tonight, soap legend Anita Dobson will be here with news of how you can revisit some of the most iconic scenes from Albert Square.
Yeah, that reminds us, actually. Got something here for you.
Are they the divorce papers?
No, it's actually just an intro for the next guest, which I wrote down. Don't know why, because we've got auto-cue, probably for the joke. Wimbledon might be taking a break, but don't worry, because you can still get your tennis fix, and here to tell us how is the one and only Sue Barker!
What was that for?
He then did the cowardly thing, which was start mocking the bit he'd just done for not working.
Yeah, it was like a meta-joke. Like, it was kind of like, oh, if I poke fun of this happening and I'm self-aware, then maybe I will feel less...
There is no point being self-aware when you weren't self-aware enough to say, no, I'm not doing that. You cannot claw it back.
You can hear the production meeting. You know they had a Zoom production meeting probably earlier in the day, and then he arrived at the studio. And by then, it's a foregone conclusion. It's a, yes, this is what's happening. It's just do it. It's just yeah. Get on with it, Chris. You're not here very often. If you want to come back, do as we say.
And he did. You did get the impression as well that he was doing much less than he thought he might be. They had a couple of interviews where Esther Ranson, the Black Eyed Peas, they literally asked them one question, and the two of them just filled all of the time. And there was a couple of bits, I think, in the Anita Dobson where Chris Ramsey was trying to throw to a clip, and Anita Dobson, because of Zoom, was just steamrollering.
Yes. Is this the one where she says she's got 6 months to live?
That's the one.
Yeah, they're busy arguing about it in this clip here.
I remember Leslie said to me before we actually recorded it, and we were doing that actual scene, he said, what do you reckon? How many takes? And I went, maybe two, maybe more if we're lucky. He went...
And every time he tried to say something, he was just cut down. So by the end of the two shows we'd watched, I think he might have spoken three times.
Yeah, I think that's probably why he wanted to get a joke in, right? But I felt like Will.i.am was the most, like, cringe one, because I felt like he was just, like... I feel like he's his own hype man. Like,
yeah, entirely.
Yeah. Like, it's a kind of... It was insane. It was like when you're asking someone on a promotional tour, it was like he had it ready to go. And it was like, even they said that afterwards. They were just kind of like, and you've kind of told us how you're amazing, how many records you've sold, you know, the digits in your bank account, how great all of your technology is, everything. Like, he just did it all in one
year. Yeah, so that's a 25-year group, and now we have a new album out called Translation. No one thought we can come back to the top 40. Now we got two number ones. The album is out. Ritmo went number one all around the world, and especially in the Latin charts, radio charts. Mamacita's entered number one in the Latin charts, and you know, to have this long, lengthy career and now having a new album out right now is just spectacular. On a new label, Sony, so we have a new home, new album, new collaborations.
Well, I tell you what, Will. We had loads of questions about the album, but you've done it all for us.
I literally didn't have to do anything. I tried to link it. He's done this before.
I wasn't listening to anything Will.i.am said. So his entire hype machine that he was spouting went completely over my head, because all I was doing was staring at his sunglasses that he was wearing indoors, because reflected in them, you could see his desk. And I was thinking, what is on Will.i.am's desk? And you could see him watching The One Show in the reflection of his laptop, which, and I was longing for another screen to be open of just some porn or something that he'd been...
my favourite thing that he said, he's such a sort of slightly heartless, soulless pro, that there was a bit... The only line I remember him saying was, he said, I miss the UK so bad.
I have to say, like, I really, really miss the UK, like, so bad.
And they went, oh, what do you miss about the UK? And he's like... Normally when I do this at the concert, they just cheer, right? They don't ask me what it is. And so all the things he missed about the UK were the planes, traffic, and Heathrow Airport.
What are you missing mostly, Will?
I miss British Airlines. I miss the honey cashew nuts when I'm getting in my seat to lay down. And then I miss landing in Heathrow. I miss sitting in traffic. I wish I could sit in an hour and a half traffic right now.
He had nothing in his bag. He's just, you're supposed to just cheer. When I do this at the O2, no one says, but what specifically? I've just said I love the UK.
Those were his cultural highlights. Like, that was it. I was just like, what kind of life are you living that sitting in traffic is a relief for you? Like that.
Yeah.
Like a
and then
joy.
Chris Ramsey tried to join in with it by saying, why don't you go and sit in your car on your drive? And that made him even more uncomfortable, just going, because it's not traffic.
Why don't you go and sit in the car on your drive?
Because it's not the same as sitting in traffic going to work.
Okay.
That was great, because Will.i.am did not take that as a joke. He was like, this man is making a suggestion, but I'm going to tell him his mistake, because it has to be in London, and this guy doesn't realise that. I absolutely killed him. Poor Chris Ramsey.
But both of the guys in that, did you notice they had like this, like, since when did the beanie become like a gangster hat? Like, what was that about? Like, and all of, like, on the little album sleeve as well, they all have these kind of like hip
Beanies. What's the other chap called? Taboo, is it? Taboo?
Yeah.
From the Black Eyed Peas? I'm not a great follower of the Black Eyed Peas. I am aware of Will.i.am, but Taboo and Apple, I think the other one's called.
Yeah, I can tell you, I am aware of Taboo, right? And I'm aware of him because many, many years ago, when I was working with Richard Bacon on Capital Drive Time,
yeah,
we had the Black Eyed Peas came in. And a lot of people would sort of think, oh, you go to a hotel room and you talk to them and it's all edited together. But certainly when we were doing it, they just would bring a band in. The band rocked up. There's all four of them. And there they are to talk to you. And they were all really professional. This is sort of before Will.i.am became comedy Will.i.am, where he's almost like a sort of, like in really bad blockbuster movies when they have a cool scientist.
Yeah.
He's a bit like that now. And he's always a bit spacey and everything. But the interview was horrible because Taboo was shirty. And it was just like he was making little jokes and sniggering. And the whole band were like, ah, do we be nice and professional or do we sort of go, yeah, Taboo? And they chose the second one. So I've always had that thing. Whenever people go, like the Black Eyed Peas, I'll go, do you know Taboo? And they'll go, no. I'll go, right, there's one of them's called Taboo, right? Can you picture him? And they'll go, not really. And I go, tall bloke, right, wears a hat, not Will.i.am, not Fergie. You got him? And they go, yeah. I go, right, he's an arsehole.
I felt sorry for him, really, because he was there on his he was there on his Zoom screen, but then Will.i.am was just holding up a sock puppy he'd made.
So many good songs.
Where's he gone? Oh, brilliant. There we are. Joining us.
Hello, everybody.
Let's welcome now from LA, Will.i.am and Taboo, also known as the Black Eyed Peas.
See, nothing's ever straightforward with Will.i.am, is it? Hiya, Will. We can see you there in the corner, crouched down.
Oh, man, I thought you. I was really trying to fool you guys.
It was quite an elaborate sock puppet as well, I thought. He'd done quite a good job of it. I will admit that I was sort of on his side because there are Zoom meetings with friends when I have sat there on a Friday night with a sock puppet I've made instead of me. So I've done that. And my... Are you, yes, I have.
What? When? Why? Why?
Charlie, I don't know why. And my children's toys, right? I've just held them up and had done a little puppet show. And they all hate me for it. They're just, what are you doing? Stop doing that.
Are you going to announce that you're in the Black Eyed Peas?
The Black Eyed Peas do the Muppets. I mean, I don't really know them that well either. All I know is that they've got that song, that kind of tonight song that comes on at the end of a night when it's gone too far, they're about to turn the nightclub lights on and you should leave, like that's all I know of them. So
well, I mean, one other thing, Charlie, do you know there's one of them called Taboo?
Because what's he like, Mark?
Oh, let me tell you, John, the man's an arsehole.
Oh, hello you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us every day. We do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Dave, were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, it's basically the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian and Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love.
Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But they railroaded across the presenters, of course. Alex couldn't get a word in. Chris couldn't. To flip it back to Esther Ranson as well, in another person who just talked and talked. It's partly the Zoom problem, but it's also managing your guests, which they didn't really have any way to do. And then when the cow started mooing, I mean, this was... textbook one show shambles for me.
Is a central part of my life. Can you hear a background noise?
A bit like a fairy, like a horn.
Yes, well, yes. I'm glad you said that. Because actually, it's a cow. And I was worried you might think it was me.
I loved that moment.
I loved it.
I felt like I fell in love with Esther Ranson and her cake full of teeth. I mean, that's what I'm imagining that she had behind her, right? Because, that's what she would have for her birthday is just a teeth cake.
Outside my window, obeying all the social distancing. And they presented me with this, which I think is supposed to be me. There's a lot of teeth, you'll have noticed.
But I love that, the list of stuff that she does, that she got her sister to talk to her, it's not only does she help children, she helps old people.
We've tracked down some people over the telephone who wanted to say a very special happy birthday. So have a look at this.
I don't know how my mum was around so much while she was forging this incredible, insane career, reeling in 22 million viewers every weekend on That's Life.
Incredible woman.
That's Life went from strength to strength in terms of campaigning. And so in 1986, Mum set up Childline.
Childline, for children in trouble or danger.
Whatever it was, they would be listened to and they would be heard. She set up the Silver Line, which is a 24-hour helpline for older people to get in touch with if they were feeling lonely.
She can speak to cows. It was all of it. It was everything.
Esther Ranson is a pro. And she comes from that era of television where they are very much, I will take control of this because I am trained to do this. And in fairness, you watch the one show, you would go, I'm not sure these people are trained at the same level that I, Dame Esther Ranson, am trained at. She did have terrible, terrible frame rate on her Zoom. I'm aware this is a little bit like us talking about sound again.
Seriously, you guys.
It was like every third frame had been sort of taken out. So she was juddering along like Max Headroom, which I quite like because she also is from the 80s.
I'm in the middle of the New Forest. And those of you who know the New Forest in Hampshire, there are roaming animals and... maybe the cow objects to me, or maybe she's calling out to me and feels a fellow feeling.
He's saying happy birthday.
Saying happy birthday, yes, just joining in.
Happy birthday, Moo. Yes, exactly.
Aww.
No, what I was saying is those people are terribly important in my life.
Which also made the sound of the cow quite stuttery as well. And so at home, you couldn't work out what this noise was. And she, in the middle, what was strange about it, or what was brilliant about it, actually what was very Esther Ranson professional about it, was that rather than ignore it, even though they'd gone to a classic one show line of questioning, which they showed her a video of things she'd done throughout her life, as you were saying, Charlie, all the good stuff. And then Alex had just got in with the question, how does it feel?
Well, Esther, I think your daughter summed it up there. You are amazing. You're a powerhouse. You've made so many changes in this world, positive changes. I mean, how does it feel?
And before she could answer it, a cow started mooing. So she went to talk about, abused children and then just said, hang on a minute, can you hear that noise?
Can you hear a background noise?
It's a wandering cow.
It's a cow.
It was brilliant.
Anyone asks the question, what does it feel like? Matt Baker immediately appears on the other end on his trusty cow. He's just there to shut it down. Breach of copyright.
What was it like? It was like the noise of a cow.
I loved That's Life as a kid.
I was a big fan of that. So what the format of That's Life? was Esther Ranson would say something, and then the ends of her sentences would be finished by some anonymous men over there.
We asked, what's wrong with Ben? She said,
he has a liver disease. He was born with it.
Yeah, that's right.
It was kind of weird.
Do you remember That's Life, Charlie? Are you too young for it?
I've never seen it, but I have heard about it. And I've got to be honest, like, this is not a great reflection of... yeah, of me here and my sensitivity. When you're talking about noticing the aspect ratio, basically what happened is I'm quite a sensitive soul, and as soon as the Nicholas Winton clip came on and all the people stood up, I just burst into tears, and then I was like, so embarrassing.
Nicholas Winton is one of my all-time heroes. When XFM, when we were DJing there, they used to give you a thing where they'd sort of say, fill out, you know, what's your best gig? What's your favourite song of all time? Who's your hero? And my hero in that was Sir Nicholas Winton. I think it's just, you know, he is an amazing guy. And that is a classic piece of TV.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when that went up online, they put in all our answers, but they left that one out. They weren't like, let's not get into the Holocaust. We all just want to hear back-to-back songs, okay? But Nicholas Winton, that piece of TV is one of the greatest pieces of British television. It's so exciting. Basically setting up, he ran a service entirely off his own back to rescue children from the inferno of the Holocaust. And the people who are in there, there's a point where Esther Ranson says, anyone in here whose life was saved by Nicholas Winton, will you please stand up? And the first four rows, who are all behind Winton, stand up. By which time, they're also old people. So you get that impression of going, geez, oh, look at the number of years of lives you saved. It's absolutely brilliant.
So, could you stand up, please? Mr. Winton, would you like to turn round? You'll have the chance to meet these people properly after the programme. In the meantime, Mr. Winton, on behalf of all of them, thank you very much indeed.
And Nicholas Winton, such a humble, modest man, that his wife didn't know he'd done this until long after he'd retired. And she went up into the loft and found a suitcase with all this information in. She was like, what's this? And he was like, oh, yeah. When I was younger, embarrassing story, I saved hundreds of children
saved
from the
loads
Nazis.
Of people. But do you know what I love about it, right, is that, like, reality TV, like, I've watched a lot of documentaries during this lockdown period. I've had some time on my hands, and they're so traumatic in terms of looking at the exploitation of people on these type of reality TV shows and when they find stories. And I think, like, the modern version, I was so moved that it was something genuinely touching, because I was like, with all these current shows where they exploit, like, couples and relationships and stuff, I'm like, the recent one would be like, can all the people whose life Terrence ruined please stand up? And then, like, that would be
exactly
the new version, right?
They basically have Hitler in the front row, wouldn't they? It would be like, look, I mean, the one thing that I think, you know, does hang over this is That's Life. It ended in 1994, so it's a long time ago. I remember watching it when I was, like, you know, going to school Sunday nights. You know, it was the sort of last show of the weekend that you were pretty much allowed to stay up for. But what it was it was like a precursor to The One Show, because it had things like consumer advice. It had sort of like little films around Britain and things like
that. Potatoes shaped like genitals. That was the big thing.
Famously, dogs that said, "Josh, should you?"
Yeah.
next thing went on to were sausages.
Why should you do sausages?
Well, George next door gives him sausages, you know, he comes out every Thursday with a plate of sausages, you know, and puts them on back doorstep, and Prince goes and has a good tucking.
Tell us what you have on a Thursday, Prince. Yeah,
what does George give you, Prince? A what?
The thing about it is, it's basically The One Show done really well. And what you see is that they're talking to Esther Ranson. Esther Ranson is now, you know, 80. Looking back over her career on a show that is not nearly as good as the one that was canned to, like, you know, 26 years ago. It just, I was sort of thinking, you know, the gall of this, the gall.
I just wrote down the one, with that Nicholas Winton clip, I just wrote, you know, The One Show showing an amazing bit of television that they will never succeed in reaching the same height as that. And that must be, you know, gutting for them. No, we'll never do this. We will never,
completely,
never do it.
But the highlight was still the cow, Mark. Whatever you say.
No,
the highlight was the mooing cow.
I'll disagree. I went on Wikipedia and found out some stuff about That's Life. So on That's Life, they had Esther Ranson was the lead presenter, and they would have four blokes in suits who were there to do sort of really progressive. They're essentially to do the Dolly Bird stuff that, you know, TV in the 80s used to have. And they would do funny voices. So Esther will say, "We reached out to the council and they said this." And a man would go, "We're really very sorry." And everyone would laugh. One of them was a guy called Adrian Mills. Do you want a great fact about Adrian Mills?
Go on.
Since leaving, Adrian Mills has become the co-owner of Thai Toe, a chain of Thai restaurants located in London that includes a site in Ealing which was damaged in the riots of 2011. I don't know why it made me laugh. It's such a sort of strange fact.
Thai Toe? I thought you were going to say like a Thai shop or something. Or
No. And that would have made sense because it would have followed on from like his previous thing. I wear ties on TV, I'll open up a... But maybe there was a mistake in the paperwork.
When I was a child watching That's Life, one of those, let's call them Dolly Boys, was a man called Doc Cox.
Yeah.
And it transpired that he had made an album that was very filthy indeed, with a song called I'm a Wanker on it.
Yeah.
In a band called Ivor Biggin and the Red-Nosed Burglars.
My mother said that I never should play with the naughty, rude girls in the wood. Their giggling talk I could never understand, and that's why I fell in love with my right hand. And that's why I'm a wanker, I'm a wanker, and it does me good like it bloody well should. I'm a wanker, and I'm always pulling my pud.
And that became cult listening when I was at Charlie's face going, what the hell are you talking about? It was just an album full of swearing.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was one of the good guys from That's Life was made it all the more shocking.
My favourite fact about That's Life is the documentary filmmaker Adam Curtis, who did things like The Power of Nightmares, you know, one of the great 21st century documentary makers. He started his career on That's Life, and he had to go and basically find dogs that could sing. Was his first job. It's amazing that you sort of go, yeah,
this has
made me lose my mind, and now I'm going to destroy the established order. Thanks, That's Life.
So it was a really good show, guys, basically. You're saying it was pretty spot on, like it was nice. Because That's Life, for me, just makes me think of, like, do you know the magazine That's Life that's in shops?
Oh,
that's
yes.
Like, my partner sawed off my legs and I'm still marrying him or something. Yeah. You know, like, That's Life.
That's exactly what you were saying, Charlie, which is like, if you had, you know, Nicholas Winton today, it would all be about an audience of people standing up and saying, who hates this man? That's Life is now a magazine about tremendous traumatic injury. Welcome to 2020.
Can we talk about the dating? Because they started doing this. They started doing lockdown dating a few weeks ago, and this was the final episode of this lockdown where two people sat near each other on a bench. But I'm just, you know, wondering, as someone who came new to that thrilling piece of social engineering, what you thought of it?
I mean, I thought it was brilliant in terms of, like, I loved the tagline and the whole element. So it was very intense when it had, like, this little symbol, like, logo that came up. It's like, create a spark. It's like, create one, make one, force a spark. You will be the one. And, like, just hearing this woman talk about Mr. Right all the time started to make me want to barf a little bit. I was just like, it really felt like trying to fit your shoe into a glass slipper, or, as the case may be, a very kinky boot.
Is it a box of, like, stuff to tie your hair up?
I could do with that, but no. Let's see.
Oh, wow!
Watch your date's body language to work out how they feel about what you're saying to work out your next move.
Oh, yes. The man's hair and the man's boot and a sloth in a box. I mean, let's discuss that.
It was a lot, wasn't it? But they did seem like a really good pairing. Like, I'm trying to remember the question that she asked that was really kind of interesting, but they were really quirky. Like, didn't he have, like, guitars in the background? So he looked like a sort of rocky kind of guy, and she was, like, she looked like she was kind of a rocky girl, like, or maybe that she just stepped out of, like, a Tim Burton thing. So I was like, these two could... That could really align.
She mentioned at one point that she'd actually seen him in the band he's in performing. Yeah.
My friends know that I'm doing this, and one of them thinks that you're in a band with her. I've seen her play.
Yeah, which means you've probably seen me as well.
It's really, really weird.
She'd forgotten what he looked like, and he has a unique, unforgettable look, I'd say. I think if I saw him in the street in a year's time, I'd think to myself, that's that guy from that band who was on the One Show. But for her, it was like I was in the same room and didn't really notice him. How did you not notice him? He's like 6'9" and he's got 15 foot of hair.
And it was like he'd got four Brian May wigs on at once, wasn't it? It was a spectacular hair thing. And then that, the boot. So she, I'm not quite sure what, she had a sloth in a box. They were trying to guess what was in a box, and she was like, what's in your box? And she was shaking it, went, well, it's not a live animal then, little joke, and then she opened it and it was a cuddly sloth.
What's in the box? It's not something that's living.
No, not like a hamster or something.
No.
It doesn't move very quickly.
Sloth? Yeah.
But there was no explanation as to why this was happening.
Yeah,
he had a high platform rocker's platform boot on.
Well, they didn't go into detail, did they, about what it was? But I remember now that the little sort of advice lady in between, I like that there's like a lady who's like, this is how you do dating. Why not play a game? Because all of the facts about your life are dull and uninteresting. Play a game. Like, I was just like, how awkward. But like, we didn't really know the rules of the game of like how they ended up with a shoe and a sloth in a box. Because that could be misinterpreted. If someone gave me a sloth, I'd be like, are you trying to say I'm slow? Is that... like, are you trying to say that I am fat and slow? Is that what you were saying?
I mean, the expert, I'm always a little bit dubious of, because she's been on this probably... I think we've seen her 4 or 5 times, and she has not set up her Zoom rig properly. She's always much too far away from the mic. And I say that as someone who is incapable of setting up my own mic system, as you will be able to hear in this episode. But I just think no one said to her, do you know what? Do you not be good is if you did this and you looked more professional than everybody else, members of the public wise, who appears on this little segment.
When we engage in creative activities together, we learn about one another's character, how well they deal with challenges, and how similarly we think and feel.
You guys love the technical stuff. I mean, she could be giving out the crappiest advice possible, but you would remember the aspect ratio she was in. Like, not that she told you to, like, you know, throw salmon in their face on the first day. It would just be like, no, the size of this...
Why do you think John and I have such loveless lives?
All we have is our aspect ratio. Please do not take that away from us.
I wanted to ask you guys, not about your love lives or personal lives, but like, I did think that the format is very strange of like, and it is a nerve-wracking time. So like, I live with housemates and people are dating online and like not meeting people in real life right now. I just think it's a really scary and quite intense thing to film people on the first time that they meet for real. But I did also like that they were filming them on the bench, because what if he's a murderer?
That's exactly it. It's proper safety, isn't it? It's basically going, it's online dating, but we'll also give you a security team. And the whole thing will be filmed from start to finish.
Having a date at a social distance can be a great way to discover that spark.
I am on my way to meet Adam. I'm very, very nervous.
Pressure, it's the birthday as well, so you don't want to mess it up.
I can't hug you.
I know, it's a weird way to start, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that for me?
It is for you. It's your birthday.
What do you think would have happened if you'd have turned up in your big silver boots?
But oh yeah, by the way, yeah, listen to the matriarchy there. What if he's a murderer? Oh yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean statistically.
Statistically, you're absolutely right. Yeah, men are absolutely horrible. That is true. Yeah.
She could have an axe in a box. I mean, I suppose that's a quality. Like,
if she'd opened the box and it was a knife on a spring, the camera crew would not have got there fast enough, because they have to be more than 2 metres away, and she'd be dead on a bench. Yeah, because he's a long-haired murderer from Birmingham.
Cutting back to the expert with her just saying, and Whatever you do, don't put a knife on a spring in a box. That's just not on. Not that we'd be able to hear that advice.
The spark just wasn't there, but the knife was. Yeah. It's horrible.
I thought quite a lot of I think all three of the men, there were three different men throughout that, they did seem a little bit like League of Gentlemen characters. But that was because the one with the hair did seem like the ultimate League of Gentlemen character, and that sort of bled into the other ones.
There was one that looked a bit like Jim Carrey. A plastic Jim Carrey had been left in a hot car and melted a bit, wasn't there? That one bloke. He was a bit...
The DJ.
Yeah, DJ. I think he was a DJ.
Alarm bells. Alarm bells. Jesus Christ. Have the courage of your convictions and just say, I'm out of work. Right? mean, Jesus Christ.
And right there, we throw the brakes on part one of this week's edition of The One Show. As ever, we will tip over the handlebars headfirst into part two tomorrow, so please do join us then. But in the meantime, during the meanwhile, why not rate and review this nonsense on iTunes or just social media about it on Knick Knack or Tim Tams or whatever everyone's currently using. Flip Flop, is it? Or Dib Dab? I'm on Dib Dab. Are you on Dib Dab? See you tomorrow.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty Questions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.